Right, it's just coming up to 11:30 and I'm joined in the studio by freelance columnist author Sylvia Kent, whose features have appeared in national, regional magazines and online journals. Winner of the Freelancer Writer of the Year Award for Writing Magazine, her work has appeared in over 68 titles. Sylvia is the archivist and vice president of the Society of Women Writers and Journalists, and her books, which are there are 10 of, Barkin and Daglin from Old Photographs is out now, and her blog is standing at 284,000 views. Our guest writer in the studio today is Glenys Newton, who is a writer, storyteller, and also part of the Essex Book Festival, and we'll be talking about her books and also about her storytelling as well. So very good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And we have to say that you smell beautiful with vanilla this morning.
Thank you.
That's Glenys. Not me.
It's always good to be prepared and smell like a custard cream.
Oh, it's lovely. Do you know what? Even when walking inside, I'm perfumed. I'm one of those people, if I put perfume on, it doesn't last on me at all. I don't know if it's the fat eating it or what. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, come
but
on.
It doesn't last, but then I can smell it on other people. Not everybody, but I could smell that perfume on you. So I live in hope that it might be one that might settle on my skin.
It does. Well, you can just put it on your clothes as well.
I was going to say, on a hanky too.
Yeah. Do people still have hankies?
Yes,
Sylvia,
they do.
Sylvia, yes. I bet you Sylvia has a hanky, and I bet you it's a clean hanky.
No.
She doesn't do kitchen
it's
roll.
A big one.
You don't do kitchen roll, Sylvia. This is what we learn about you. You never have kitchen roll.
Yeah, of course I do.
You sure?
Yes, but I do like hankies.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just... Or toilet roll, pure toilet roll.
Yeah, only the soft, only the decent stuff, which we don't normally have here at the station.
Double ply.
Now, thank you for joining us. The Essex Book Festival, Sylvia, we'll start with you, has been going all month.
3 weeks now.
Yep, so how is
Dennis
it?
Dennis will tell you more about it.
How's Roz and how is everything going?
She's all right, And Shona, you had Shona last month as a guest, and that was good, wasn't it? And I've seen her at several other do's that I've been to. Couldn't go to everyone I wanted because of the snow. But Graham Masterton was very good last week. Horror, learnt a bit about horror, learnt about sex, because that's
never too late to learn some more tricks.
Well, I thought I'd pop that in. I had to shock you now and again.
Well, I did. I did.
This little old lady with hankies. But yeah, that was good. And Graham has done 150 books.
And what sort of things are there? Is it a theme that he has through his books?
Yes. I think he's got a female superintendent.
Oh, sorry, theme. So is that theme. They're all horror.
Horror.
Okay.
He's written 150 books.
Yes, and I didn't know.
Wow.
Sorry, Graham, if you're listening. But you see, all the genres are so different, as you will find out later.
Yeah.
You know, I've just been doing some work with the romantic novelists, which I don't read. You see, I don't read that kind of stuff. Mine is history. I love history, so I read mainly history, write history, as you know. But no, I don't know anything about it. Horror, but it's lovely to learn about other people and how successful they are. Gosh, and the sex bit, that was 40 years ago. He's even written...
Again, too much of a Glenys. What is happening today?
I don't know.
Well, they are some of control. His under the 150 titles. Good man. So,
what's his name?
Graham Masterton.
There'll be people out there running to get his books now.
Yes!
He has a huge readership.
Yeah.
If you look at my blog, you'll see that, Facebook I've put them on. So we've had that. We've had the gathering in Chelmsford on Saturday with lots of. I thought I might see Glenys there, but I didn't. But we saw many, many Essex writers, again, loads of different genre, and...
It kicked off with Billy Bragg, of course, he was on.
This was at Chelmsford Library, but Billy, and Glenys will tell you later, she went to see him kick off the thing, I think on the 27th, 28th of February to launch the thing at the university. But anyway, yes, it's going very well. We've got lots more.
Have you got the bunker coming up as
well?
That's
where Glenys will be appearing. Yeah. So she'll tell you all about that and how you can get tickets. And, you know, there's a bus that goes from Brentwood Station that will take you out to Kelvedon because it's on Sunday. Is that right, Glenys?
It's on Sunday and it is in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
as only a secret
bunker can be, really. Yes. You couldn't have it in the middle of
I'm probably the only person in Essex that's not been. Yes. I know it's very popular.
Oh, I've been several times because I know Michael.
It's extraordinary.
It's
really worth going to.
And what are the acoustics like in there? For they've got
Good. I don't think they're good. But are you going to sing? Are you going?
No. I was just saying I've never been. I wondered what it was like for storytelling.
Go. Yeah, it should be fun. But anyway, back to the book club, March, a little gathering of us, Billericay Library. It's second Tuesday in the month. We were reading The Midwife's Confession by Diana Chamberlain. Lots of mystery, turns, and it's an American book. And did enjoy it. Intriguing read. Tender is the Night, Scott Fitzgerald. I read that years ago.
Yeah.
And I will be rereading. And The Narrow Road to the North by Richard Flanagan. And then we're starting The Country Girl by Edna O'Brien. I've read that too, but I'll have another go. Society of Women Writers and Journalists in London. Lots of things happening, because you know we're working up to our 125th year. I was not there at the beginning. No. but anyway, we've now got lovely Floella Benjamin, who's our president, and Brentwood Writers Circle in its 77th year, and 60 members. I'd love Glenys to come as a speaker at some point, because her subject will be really well appreciated. And we meet at the Bardsville Social Club once a month, first Saturday of the month, 2:30 to 4:30. And we welcome people, we welcome our guests. And that's what we're doing. I'm writing, as usual, but we're here really to hear about our friend Glenys.
Yes. So very, very good morning. Who smells delicious. Yes, we've already established that.
Making me hungry.
Before we talk about the books, when did you first get interested in writing? Was it something you did from being a small child, or is it something that's happened later?
I've always enjoyed writing, and I've always lived inside a book, right from really little. I actually count Pippi Longstocking and Grandpa Joe from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I count them as among my best friends still.
Yeah.
And that's what happens, isn't it, with books? They are your best friends. Mm. You know when people say, oh, can I borrow that book? And you twitch away. It's like lending my child.
Put a sticker on
especially
it too.
Especially if it's a new book, like this one I've got in my hand, because I don't, do you know what, I still love, I always say, I love a good book because I have that, and then I always take the book into the bath. I always read normally in the bath.
Right.
That's why I'm very clean. But I don't take my Kindle, because I can't enjoy a Kindle. There's something about reading a book on it, it's just not the same.
But it's a skill in its own, isn't it, reading a book in the bath?
Yes.
You have to plan ahead.
You do. And I have dropped a book in the bath. The swearing that came out of that bathroom was unbelievable. So what was the first thing you wrote?
Well, I used to write poems and things when I was younger. And then I'd always wanted to just write a book or two or something. And then in the beginning of 2013... I packed my job in, sold the house, moved into my old post office van with my dog. Mm. He's a lurcher called Tom.
Yeah.
And just went off and studied storytelling and wrote. So I thought, if not now, then when?
Mm. Sounds ideal.
Yes.
Everyone
I think it's also called a midlife crisis.
But the thing is,
but you can never have too many of those.
No, I think
let's keep practicing.
You can, if you're on a path at the moment, you might be out there listening and thinking, oh, I'm not really. You can change things. Sometimes it does take, obviously, selling a home and doing the bit, but you can do it. If you really want to do something, you'll do it.
Oh, yes, that was it. I took part in the NaNoWriMo. Have you heard?
Yes. Yeah.
No, I haven't. So tell me.
National Novel Writing Month. Right. It's in November. And you write 50,000 words in 1 month. And it happens all over the world, and you get together with people in the local area. So perhaps someone in Finland, they might be on their own. Mm. I live near Cambridge, so you can imagine you kind of get together in a cafe and there's loads of people. And I'd always said, oh, you know, when I've got my own office and when I've got a decent computer and when I'm not working and when, And I actually did it in my lunch hour with pen and pencil, going down the local cafe. Mm. And you do, I think it's about 1,700 words a day.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I've run out of excuses.
Yeah.
If you can do it like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what inspired me to just sort of pack everything up. Because the thing is, when you have ideas and you don't act on them, ideas are tricksy and they tell the next idea and they say, oh, don't bother popping up because she doesn't do anything about it.
Yeah, that's absolutely
What was the
right.
book you wrote?
The book I wrote was this one. It's called A Lay Mama's Guide to an Empty Nest. So at that time, my son had left home and I solved the empty nest thing also by selling the nest.
Mm.
I then lived in a van.
Yep. And this is a book. It's called Home Flown. And yes. It's got children leaving home is a huge time of transition in life of any parent, and that and one that is not widely spoken about. This book takes a look at the years leading up to, during and following the empty nest. So that's out now. Is there funny parts in it? Is it got a lot of humour in it?
Yes. Well, one of the things, because earlier we were talking about loo rolls, weren't we? And that is one of the things you realise when your children leave home, is that children use the most inordinate amount of loo roll, and boys more than girls for some reason.
Mm.
Leave a little pause for thought there.
Yeah. We're going back to that hanky thing again.
We are.
Right. Now, it's just come up to 11:41. We're going to play some ads and a quick tune, and then we're going to come back and talk more about the books from Glenys as well. Mm. And also, we're going to be talking about your storytelling trip over to Europe as well.
Yep.
Great. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Now I'm joined in the studio by Sylvia Kent with here with this month's book club, and also our guest writer Glenys Newton. I have problems saying your name.
That's all right.
I can't get my S's out. You know what I'm like. I'm terrible.
I think it's names. I always used to say at school, why is nobody teasing me about my name? It's a ridiculous name, and nobody seemed to. I don't know why.
I wouldn't be able to spell it. And where does it come from? Is it Welsh?
It's Wales. Welsh, yes. Wales. Yes.
So were you brought up in Wales, or no. You always lived?
No, my mum. No, I'm an Essex girl.
Yeah,
yeah. My mum's Welsh.
Yeah, yeah. And lots of, what is it? They have cockles and seaweed, isn't it, for breakfast? I can't remember what it's called. Yeah, do you not know?
Is it good for the skin?
Well, I never did.
I think so. Now you are also.
We used to have cocoa pops.
I can't remember what it's called. It's only because I've got friends that go up there, and that's what they have for breakfast. It's cockles and seaweed with eggs and bacon and stuff.
Oh,
yeah.
Anyway. That's a bit heavy first thing, isn't it? Yeah.
Well,
bit of porridge.
And black pudding.
Yeah. I think you'd have to lead up to that.
Yeah. Cocoa pops first. Now, you are also, but we can talk a little bit more about the books as well. Home Flown, which is out, and you can get that. That's about an empty nest of children leaving home, and it's got a lot of humour in it as well. But you are a storyteller.
Yes.
So explain to, because people go, oh, what do you mean storyteller? I read my children books. Tell us how it started.
So storytelling is the oral tradition. So obviously there's loads of wonderful, wonderful books. But the idea of storytelling is that there are no books used. And so the myths and legends and wonder tales, you know, the Greek myths, which are just extraordinary. Mm. I tell a lot of biographical stories, and I've also told a lot of refugee stories, you know, in attempt to try and offer another perspective. And biographical stories, you know, when you hear somebody talking and telling you a story about something, anything, and it's like popcorn. It makes you go, oh, that reminds me of that time when, or that reminds me of that person. And stories, they really are the bedrock. Our stories are the bedrock of humanity, really. Without our stories, we wouldn't exist.
No.
True.
Yes. That's how important they are.
True. It's a bit heavy for kind of music.
It's a bit
time.
Heavy. Yeah.
My head's just exploded.
Yeah.
But with the stories, is it a bit like being a stand-up comedian? Because you obviously don't read from anything. Do you actually kind of get the stories and then you have to practice before you go out and speak in public? And
yeah, you work on them a great deal.
Mm.
For example, one story I did a 6-week residential course. So that was like 8, 9, 10 hours a day for 6 weeks, 6 days a week on one 10-minute story. And that's 2 years ago and still working on it.
Mm.
So, or you can have one that you kind of just pick up and off you go with it.
Mm.
They're never really the same twice because it changes with whoever you've got sitting in front of you.
And who do you actually go to tell the stories to? Because I know you've been over to Europe.
Yeah.
So you've been over to sort of...
Belgium. Was it Belgium?
Anyone that will listen, really.
So tell us about some of the audiences, because I know you've spoken to refugees... As you've done audiences with refugees, is that as well?
No, telling refugee stories. Right, so I went to Belgium. They had, there was a bomb went off. And so I went the following day to tell stories in people's houses, in pubs. And then in Holland, I taught in Holland, telling in schools and universities. So lovely few university events with the young people and their parents, which was really interesting because it got them talking because they had quite differing views, some of them. And the young people are fantastic because they start off with one view and then they don't give some deep, convoluted reason as to why they've changed their mind. They just have changed their minds. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
And then they need instant action. So they go, right, what can we do about it? And so then I also told to Rotary clubs. And they're great.
Yeah.
That was quite daunting because it's like mainly men.
Yeah.
And sort of 50-ish. And they were just the most generous audience. So they said, right, we will fund all the ideas that the young people have in the schools.
Great.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
They're great. So the young people came up with ideas. So like in Holland, they're saying, oh, people come here and they don't know how to ride a bike. And in Holland, everyone goes around on a bike. So they, the Rotary Club funded the young people to go to the place where there were loads of secondhand bikes. And the young people would go to refugee centres and teach people how to ride bikes and then share food as well.
Yeah. Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
It is,
so
isn't
simple.
It?
Yeah. It's really simple. It doesn't really cost anyone anything.
Yes. Yeah.
And then because in the storytelling world, we say an enemy is simply someone whose story you have not yet heard.
True.
Yeah. I think we have a problem in general that people kind of shut their ears off to things. And especially when you're older, as you said, when you're younger, you're kind of a bit more sort of, oh, okay, a couple of ideas. But as you get older, the shutters go down and you don't listen. And I think that is the thing that, especially in today's society, with the social media and YouTube, and you need to be able to listen to people's opinions. You don't have to agree with somebody.
Absolutely.
But you just need to be able to listen to what people have to say and not be shuttered.
Yes.
That's the problem. And we all are guilty that we walk along with our, you know, with our little shutters up, and we don't want to hear anything.
Yeah.
So I think that's good to, and also being just a decent person. That's always got to be the main
massively
thing,
underrated.
Yeah. Smile and be kind to people. There just is a thing in Brentwood called Do Good in Brentwood, and they basically we've got a bin donated from them. They go out and they do random acts of kindness, which I think is fabulous.
Yeah,
it's nice, isn't it?
I had I was volunteering on the beaches in Greece in 2015 when there were thousands of people arriving every day, and then about 6 months later, I was in the camp in Calais. And this little girl was really excited. She was about 8 years old, tugging at my sleeve. And she, someone came to interpret. And she said, I remember you. She said, I came in on the boat at night. And I remember your smile. And I carried your smile in my heart.
Aww.
And I was like, you know, I'm not a doctor. I'm not anything. I can't actually do anything practical. But a smile, we can all do that. Exactly. You don't have to go to uni, do you, for that?
No. Good and Sylvia's got a good smile because she's got lovely teeth.
Yeah.
She's got a great
smile.
Oh, we'll
always look after your teeth. What would you say to your younger self?
Pam Ayres, that was, wasn't it? Was Pam Ayres. Now, you've got a book called No Wonder We're All Mad. Tell us about that.
Yes.
I didn't have to do any research for that.
Tell us about the book.
I used to work as a community psychiatric social worker in Harlow. And so I used to see people coming into the system, and it's felt sad that you have life events, everybody has life events, and the wheels fall off of everyone's trolley at some point. And but in order to get support, it's kind of having to pathologize that story, which it's, you know, it's difficult. A lot of difficult things happen. So I've just sort of did chapters on the things that are fairly guaranteed to send us mad, which is like falling in love, family, poor health, you know,
grieving house.
Lack of toilet rolls.
Lack of toilet rolls. I mean, that can, it can be the proverbial straw, can't it? The empty cereal box put back in the cupboard.
Exactly.
And then also the stories we tell ourselves, which can be a bit distorted and damaging. But it's quite funny as well.
Yeah. So we can get hold of both the books. Are they available in, are they online or can we go into bookshops?
Yeah. So you can go into bookshops for this one, but not the mad one.
Right. That's on Amazon. Would that be on Amazon?
Yes.
God. So no wonder we're all mad. You can get on Amazon if you go and check out Glenys Newton. That's G-L-E-N-Y-S Newton. And also if you want to get the other book, which is called Home Flown, which is about the empty nest syndrome, lots of fun as well as probably some sadness in there as well. So it's a bit of a mixture of
life.
Yeah, it's life.
And well, thank you very much for coming in. We will we've got to say a quick mention. We've got about a minute left.
Very, very quick mention. Rossi's. Patricia Volante.
Yep.
First book published by Estuary Publishing.
Yep.
Our lovely Una Rose, who came here a couple of years ago, does some gorgeous books. This one, $6.99, and hopefully the author will be coming in from Southend soon.
So you better bring in some of the ice cream.
We want an ice cream cone.
Vanilla ice cream.
Vanilla.
And then we're back to where we started.
It's got to be vanilla.
It's got to be vanilla. I'm not too fussed about flavours. I don't like chocolate ice cream. That is the devil's food. But Rossi, it's got a particular taste, Rossi ice cream, I will say.
And she's from the Rossi family.
Do you like a flake?
I do like a flake.
So actually...
What was that snorting noise? That wasn't us, was it, Glenys?
No, it wasn't.
That was Glenys.
What's going on with Sylvia today?
It was the dog.
It's all gone. I've never heard Sylvia say so many things today. No, we're just going to come up to the news.
It's outrageous.
Thank you very much to Glenys. And thank you very much to Sylvia. It's been a great show. And if you missed the beginning bit of this, this will be up on the website a little bit later and you can listen again. Thank you.